You know, our days are filled with excitement.
Schedules and plans, even though we have, like at an advance, you know when to go to eat if you want to eat, go to fellowship if you want to go, and so on and so forth. But in between, all kinds of exciting adventures can transpire. And it's great to be a believer. It's great to be accepted by God. And I want to share a little bit on, if I called it anything, I'd call it accept what we have. A big part of the renewed mind is believing who you are. And Joe shared in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9, a scripture that's very familiar to all of us, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I really believe that many times we take it for granted that people know that, that people already understand that, and nothing can be further from the truth. Some people do, but a lot of people do not. Every year, around the holiday break, around New Year's or something like that, we usually do something called Light Bearers. I've been doing it ever since I moved to New Jersey 30 years ago. Be 30 years next year. And it's where we hear the word and when we go out and share the word. And the last several years, we usually have about 100 people, I guess. And we each ask, is it 5 or 10? 10 people how to get born again. And that's their assignment. Just ask 10 people that they never met before how to get born again. And generally speaking, whether it's 500 or 1,000 people that we've talked to within the course of a couple hours, 99 9/10% of people don't even know how to get born again. So when Joe was sharing Romans 10:9, I was thinking, yeah, man, that's really one of the greatest things we could ever do for anybody, is to get people born again, or at least get them to realize that maybe they were already born again and they didn't even know it. You know, I live in New Jersey, and I had never heard anything like this before I moved here, but where you'll go up to somebody and go, are you a Christian? And they go, no, I'm a Catholic. And I go, well, of course. I mean, you know, but a lot of Catholics are born again. They just don't, you know, they believe in Jesus, they believe him as Lord, but they haven't put it all together. And this one verse puts it all together. So next time you're out on the street, which is probably will be tomorrow, don't forget that people don't know this verse. And if you actually ask somebody if they're a Christian and they say no, and you say, well, would you like to be? And they say no or yes. If they say no, you haven't lost anybody. You haven't lost a friend. You haven't lost anything. They don't care about you anyway. Do they? Why should you? You're a son of God with all power. So if they say no, you haven't lost anything. If they say yes, I'd like to be a Christian, and you share that verse with them, and if they believe it, you have done the greatest thing that you could ever do for anybody, that's greater than even raising somebody who's alive, who's dead, and raising them to life. Because you've given that person eternal life. Think about it. And I'm appreciative, that I'm alive. I'm glad I'm alive. I had a rough year last year, but if I wouldn't have made it, I'd still have made it, because I'm going to the gathering together. And we have, once we've confessed that, Holy Spirit. Nobody can take it away from us. Joe shared that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's called the new man, the inner man, the new creation, the inward man. It's called all kinds of different things, but it means the same thing. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And once we believe that Jesus is Lord, and once we believe that God raised him from the dead, we're complete. Joe shared that. Body, soul, spirit, There's nothing missing. There is absolutely nothing missing. We are complete. And I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm not in Corinthians. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 12, in verse 11, it says, For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of who?
God.
Yeah. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of who?
God.
Holy mackerel. This was a life-changing verse for me when I finally saw this in God's Word. That one of the main reasons that we have Spirit is so that we could know what we've been given freely. You ever have Christmas? That devilish holiday? You know, I like Christmas because I get gifts and I like them. That's, I don't care. Give me a gift. I'll open that sucker and be appreciative. But we have Holy Spirit, man. We have, you know, the greatest gift. And it says here, we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God Almighty. And the word that usually indicates the purpose or the reason, that we might know, not guess, the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that neat? That we might know. The word know means to see. To see. It means to notice. It means to pay attention to. It means to behold. God wants us to also, it also means to examine or to inspect. That we might know, that we might pay attention to, that we might inspect, that we might examine, that we might really pay attention to the things that have been freely given to us. And this ties in earlier with Bob sharing. You know, these guys, I would have lasted about 22 and a half seconds on a good day doing the law. I'd fail. There's no way. It's just, I would have been so far in the back of the line of the Gentiles. I would have been the worst. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but God wants us as believers to notice, to pay attention to see, to behold, to examine, to inspect the things that God has freely given to us. We didn't do a thing. My old friend Joe Guarini used to describe the Bible in a very awesome way. He goes, it's real simple. In the Old Testament, it was due. New Testament, done. Next teaching. Thank you. That's it, you know. Look, it's been done for us. We saw that clearly with Steve's teaching, with Bob's teaching, and also Joe's teaching, which led up to the mystery. We don't have to work for it. It's been done. Doggone it. Just take it then. Take what you've been given. Pay attention to what you've been given. Notice what you've been given. More so than you notice your bank account, or if the stocks are up, or the stocks are down, or blah, 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 blah. Is it a good time to buy a house? Is it a bad time to buy a house? Should I get pregnant? Can we afford it? College education? Look, God wants us to pay attention. He wants us to know. He wants us to inspect. He wants us to behold what he's given us freely. Didn't cost 1 cent to us. Cost him his only begotten son. That's the greatest price ever paid. But it's done completely. He wants us to know. He really wants us to know the things that are freely given to us. Freely means to do a favor for. You aren't really doing someone a favor if you do a favor for someone expecting something back, are you? Now, that's not a favor, that's payback. Oh man, I had loads of things to say there, but I can't say them because it would offend many, if not all. But look, it's a favor. It's to be gracious and kind towards. It's to give freely with no strings attached. Do you ever see The Godfather? Do you know the logo? You know, or it's not the logo, but you know, what's that called? The who's the dangly? Tagline? Tagline. It's like the puppet on a string, you know? And most people live on the other end of those strings their whole life. Not us. We're believers. We are believers. And I would like to think that we're believing believers, believers who actually believe. What is believing? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I just know that it's confidence, trust, faith in the Word, that the Word of God is true, and that settles it for me. So what does God want us to know? What does He want us to pay attention to? What does He want us to behold? He wants us to behold the things that have been given to us as a favor, so freely, with no strings attached. God really wants us to believe and accept what He gave us because of His kindness, His love, His grace. A really, really huge part of the renewed mind is believing what you already got, who you are, what you have. What the heck? Let's look at some. How about righteousness? 1 Corinthians 1. It's a chapter right next to 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 30, it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Righteousness is the right state. It's the fulfilling of all claims that are right. It's giving us full access to God. Righteousness is our ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, anxiety, fear, or anything that makes you feel yucky. Righteousness is just being able to stand before that. You know, people get nervous about meeting people. Oh, you know, do you know who I met? And you're like, you know who I met? We can stand before the Creator of the heavens and the earth without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, anxiety. We don't have to be anxious about it. And we can talk things over with the One who created the heavens and the earth, and that's God Almighty, El Shaddai. So that's righteousness. That's what He gave it to us. It's free. There's nothing to pay for. So let's know. Let's behold. Let's pay attention to the ability and the access that God has given us to go before Him without any sense of guilt, sin, condemnation, shortcoming. That we just go to God just knowing He loves us. Remember when you're a little woman? I don't want to bring back any little, never mind. Bad example. I was going to say, remember when you were a little kid and you could just go in your parents' arms, but then I realized there's some people here, when they went in their parents' arms, they slapped them. There are. So, scratch that. You ever felt comfortable with anybody? Ever? In your life? I like that. Only this is God. He'll never slap us. Verse chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. So, God wants us to know we're righteous. And that's a big darn deal, man. I think that that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, things that attacks believers from cashing in on what God has available to them. None of us are good enough. Isn't that the point of a Savior? So what are you going to do to be good enough? Are you going to learn one more verse than Bob Chatton? No, first of all, that's impossible. But, you know, even if you were able to memorize the book of Zechariah, like my wife, I mean, you know, she's, when we were dating, she was quoting Zechariah. I said, "That's it, I'm marrying her." I don't even know where Zechariah is. And she quoted it to me one night, I'm going, I had to look it up and make sure she wasn't trying to trick me. Verse 21, "For He..." God had made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's almost hard to read. That we might be made the righteousness of God. I have no clue how righteous God is, but He's made us that righteous. So, we're to notice. We're to pay attention. We're to observe, we're to inspect, we're to examine, pay attention to that we're righteous. And you know what else? When you look at your brother, remember that about him. Man, if you got that going on, man, that's just the way to live. We're also sanctified. We're set apart. Thank God, from one way or another. But in our instance, we're set apart from the world to God. In verse 30 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we read it there a little earlier. It has a bunch of them in there. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. And there it is, in sanctification. We're separated. We're set apart from this world. It's like that song, "This world is not my home." We haven't changed the words to "this world is our home," have we? Oh, good. Okay. Just checking. Okay. Another thing that we are is we're redeemed. And it says right here, in redemption. We're redeemed. It means releasing affected by payment of ransom. Our salvation was paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ. We've read books or we've seen movies where there's been a kidnapping caper. And generally speaking, they don't kidnap anybody from the ghetto because they ain't going to get nothing. You know, where I grew up, there ain't no kidnap who. For what? A bag of popcorn? You know, fresh. Pound of government cheese? No. They go up Ridgewood, New Jersey. Kidnap some up in there. You know. So, watch out up there. But... So someone gets kidnapped and they ask for a ransom. They ask for money to pay in exchange for the person that got kidnapped. Well, look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Because of his payment, we no longer dead in trespasses and sin. We're no longer without God and without hope in this world. We're alive and we have hope because he paid his life a ransom to get us away from being kidnapped by the adversary. He rescued us. The Lord Jesus Christ, subject of the word. Okay. If you're rescued, act rescued. Don't act like you've got 50 pounds of chains on your back, that you're carrying a cross that doesn't exist, that you're trying to, you know, be good to your fellow man. Come on, man. Get off that religious crap. Enjoy your life. One way to do it is by accepting, by knowing, by beholding, by paying attention that we have been redeemed. Back in my youth, which was a long time ago now, that my parents used to collect these things called S&H green stamps. Anybody here, did they have that in the East Coast too? I'm from California. Okay. So you collect all these books of green stamps. You know, you get X amount of green stamps and you fill up your book and then you save the book and you get another book and you save the book and you get a bunch of books and you save the books and you got, I remember going, my parents, never mind, but we'd have a stack of books and you know, you'd get like, you know, a free box of pancake mix or something. But you redeemed the stamps. You sent the stamps in, and they would give you something for your stamps. Well, look, we've been redeemed. It is done. It is paid for. And God wants us to know, to examine, to inspect, to behold, to know without a shadow of a doubt, to pay attention to what we have been given freely. We've been justified, and it also says that here. And I think it does it? Well, if it doesn't, we'll add it. No, we won't. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. We'll add it. That happened to Eve, didn't it? That didn't end up too good. Look, we're justified. Most of the times this word is basically the same word used for righteousness. It's the act of God declaring men free from guilt. Well, praise the Lord. You ever been guilty? Well, no, not have you ever been, have you ever felt guilty? I know we all been guilty. Usually it's just good to say, you're right, I'm sorry. And then it's over. No, we got to fight. Hey, we're justified. We have been fully accepted, not rejected, not infected. So it's awesome. We're righteous. It's declaring men free from all guilt. Romans 4:25, who was delivered, and this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not at loggerheads. We're not in a fist fight with God anymore. There's no fight. There's no fight. Because we're justified. Justified, never sinned. Another thing we are is reconciled. We're reconciled and we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't let anybody tell you any different. It's what God's word says. We've changed from death to life. We've changed from the power of Satan unto God. And the reason we were, it's because Jesus Christ paid the price and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and as a result, we are reconciled. Now, we go out and share it with others, and if they believe, they get reconciled. Whoa! 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Why, sure, this is right. This is God's word. Look, this stuff is so doggone simple that the adversary tricks people into thinking it's so doggone hard. It's simple. When that person gives you a $1,000 bonus, do you think that's hard to take? You swipe that away so quick it might break the guy's hand that's handing it to you. That's mine. What about God's word? That's ours. You got a right. And there is no hierarchy. It's not gift ministries and peons. It's a family. It's a body. And every person is placed in the body as it's pleased God. And everyone is equally as important. There's no hierarchy except God and his son, Jesus Christ. If you want to call him that. The word doesn't call him that. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not only has God given us a ministry of reconciliation, he's given us the word with which we can carry it out. He's given us the word which we can carry it out. We could teach people about salvation. That's God's word. We can carry it out. He didn't leave us saying, you've got a ministry of reconciliation, without explaining to us what it is, without giving us the privilege of fulfilling it and sharing it with others. Boy, there's a lot in there. Gee whiz. These are all things God has freely given to us. Not one thing paid for by us, except we believe. That's it. God wants us to know. He wants us to see. He wants us to observe. He wants us to turn our attention to these things, that we're righteous, that we're redeemed, that we're sanctified, that we're justified, and that we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what he wants. He wants us to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not one doubt. What else have we been freely given? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. This still, to this day, just blows my mind. But God has given us all this stuff that I'm about to read freely. Every single believer, a Baptist if they're a believer, a Methodist if they're a believer, a Roman Catholic, chapter 12, verse 7. And you just got to read it and enjoy it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To benefit. God's given every believer, the manifestation of the Spirit to profit, to benefit. Well, what are they? For one is given, verse 8, word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And there you have the nine manifestations of the Spirit that are also freely given to every single born-again one. But all these, verse 11, watch closely, that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. Every single believer has all nine manifestations. These are not a gift. These are a result of the gift. These are the manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit to every believer who wills to manifest. Everyone, everyone, everyone. So, what are these wonderful manifestations? Speaking in tongues we know is perfect prayer. I got a cup here. It has all kinds of benefits on it. It's so long it runs out of stuff. You know, it edifies it. Speak the divine secrets. Speak the wonderful works of God. Rest to your soul. All these wonderful benefits. And we have the privilege of speaking in tongues. It's a fantastic, fantastic manifestation. It's perfect prayer. It's something that we can do day or night whenever we decide to do. And guess what? It's about the only thing perfect that we'll ever do, that we can do it anytime we want to. It'll always be perfect unless we're acting on the Word of God. So we have speaking in tongues. We have interpretation of tongues and prophecy, which we've heard in these fellowships, which basically is a great way to give to the church words of edification. You know, you build people up. It's a building up thing. And it's by way of exhortation, which means to encourage to a more worthy endeavor and to comfort, to quiet us down, to give us that quiet acquiescence of what God has to say to us. We have been given freely tongues of interpretation and prophecy. And those all benefit in many, many ways. Tongues benefits us as believers. It benefits every believer in the world. Tongues with interpretation and prophecy benefits everybody that's at that fellowship that gets to hear from God. Words that build up, words that comfort, and words that exhort us to a more worthy endeavor. We also have word of knowledge. These things here now are all things that have been freely given to us that we might know the things. Know, inspect, examine. No, pay attention to. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by His revealing it to you certain truths or facts concerning any situation about which is humanly impossible for us by our senses to know anything at all. So in other words, word of knowledge is knowledge that's impossible for you to know by your senses. You can't know them. So you can't sit around and try to figure it out. That's not word of knowledge. That's word of my knowledge. That's not word of God's knowledge. Today, when Bob ended his teaching, I thought, oh my gosh, this song just fits. It would be a perfect close to the teaching. And I asked Brian if he had that loaded in his, whatever they call those things, iPods. And he didn't, and so I thought, well, man, where's the piano? You know, there's no piano here for this song. And I thought, oh, God, I know there's two pianos back there, but can I put a piano up? And it's like, no, have Lance sing it. And I'm like, and I'm walking down, and he's in, and I'm walking down, and I see, and Lance is bawling his eyes out. And I'm like, I can't do that. And it was like, do it. And man, that thing was awesome. That's the kind of thing that word of knowledge is. I wouldn't have thought that on my own. I ain't that smart. I wouldn't even thought of it. And then if I would have thought it, I'd have given up after Brian. And then if I would have thought it, I would have never done it. Word of wisdom is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by His revealing it to you what to do in a given situation once you've know or ascertain the truths or the facts concerning the situation. You know what word of wisdom is? What to do about what you know. what to do about it. God tells you something that's impossible for your senses to know anything, that's great. Then it's, okay, now what? What do you do with it? That's word of wisdom. Supernatural, it's awesome. But he's given every single believer these things freely. Not just the good guys, not just the bad guys. Every believer, not just the ones that go to Harbor Light Fellowship, not just every believer in the world have these manifestations, every single believer. But God wants us to know. He wants us to pay attention to. He wants us to really benefit and to know these things that have been freely given to us. Discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you can receive from God by his revealing it to you the necessary information concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits. Yeah. And the identity of spirits present. And if they're evil, whether you could cast them out. You think that might be important? Do you think God cares enough for us to want us to know what's going on spiritually? If something's good or something's bad? If something, you need to go somewhere to, you know, to help somebody or to stay away. This is supernatural that comes by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. You see, without the eyes and the ears of the church is deaf and blind. And the adversary would love believers to act like they don't know what's going on, be unsure of themselves. But God's word, he's given us a word that's true. And then if we need to know any more information, we just need to have the confidence that God loves us enough, which he does, that he would let us know. And it's not how much we know, but it's who we know. And we kind of know God. It's kind of cool. So what else? Faith or believing. It's your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may believe to bring to pass the impossible. How about that? You know, like the Red Sea's parting, or that comb that wasn't there and you really needed that comb. And that sounds silly, but God does some incredible things for us that we just let go sometimes and just blow it off. There's nothing too great or small for God, but it's bringing to pass the impossible at your command according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Working of miracles is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestations of believing, bring to pass miracles according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom. It's bringing something to pass, whammo, whammo, boom, quick, a miracle, just a bam. You know, I don't really know what happened to me last year, but I know that things weren't too good. And within a 24-hour period, things were looking a whole lot better. God did that, and you're the ones that were responsible. You prayed for me. I was out of it. I didn't know anything. I really didn't know anything for like 17 days. I was gone. But I got healed in that time, and it was miraculous. And it was a result of people's prayers and God's power, and who knows what else what he did, but these manifestations were certainly involved, that's for sure, and I'm appreciative of that. How about gifts of healing? It's your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass healing according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Look how awesome these things are. We read God's word. We see records in the Old Testament. We look at records in the Gospels. We look at records in the book of Acts, which is not the book of thoughts. And we see people receive from God these incredible truths that they had no idea of. God told them. Then they told them what to do. Then they'd figure out if something was evil or not and what to do about it. And then there would be miracles, believing, all this great stuff. We've read it in God's word. We read it. He wants us to know what these manifestations are and how they can benefit us and profit others. He gave us the manifestations freely. He wants us to know. He wants us to see. He wants us to notice. He wants us to pay attention. He wants us to observe. He wants us to inspect and behold these wonderful things that we've been given. We should have no doubt. We should have absolute confidence in God's ability to work in you, like Joe shared, to willing to do of his good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to bless us. It's God's good pleasure to bless us. It's like if you have had a child, it's your good pleasure to bless your child, to really love them, to bless them, or a believer. You know, it's God's good pleasure. Don't doubt your Heavenly Father. Doubt me, doubt your mom. No, I'm sorry, not your mom. You know, but don't doubt our God. He is able and he is willing. He wants us to know this stuff. And we should have absolute confidence that these things that he's given us are ours. And we do have confidence in it. Look what else. John 15, verse 7. This is Jesus talking. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Is it that hard to get to John, or are you tired? Jeez. And I, you know, hey, Zechariah, I give a 5-minute period. Okay, well, John, let's move. Let's go. You in it to win it or what? Let's move them pages, girl. I don't play around here. Get to John, dang it. Jesus is talking. Watch. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye should bear much fruit. God wants us to bear what? That's what Jesus said. So shall ye be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for who? And you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And that's a whole nother subject in the Word that's fantastic to look at someday. You haven't chosen me. Look at this. I've chosen you. Well, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. It's pretty simple to see that God's Word, by way of Jesus Christ, who was the living Word, he said that we should love one another. And that's a good idea. Look at John 13, verse 34 and 35. And Jesus Christ is speaking here about a new commandment. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, by ye loving one another, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love, what? Boy, oh boy. My very first fellowship was in February of 1971, and I was coming off I was on a losing streak there for a while. In my first fellowship, I saw Dr. Werwell teach in California, and Steve Zlezzi was there. And he taught on the Gospel of John chapter 9, which is the record of the man born blind. And I remember I was sitting near the back of the room, and several things occurred to me that night. Number one, I understood the Bible when it was taught for the first time in my life. And I'd gone to other places. I'd actually, as big as a wise ass as I was, still am, for that matter, but I really was searching for God. George Foley and I went to the same church together from the sixth grade on, and you know, we loved God, I guess, but I didn't know anything about him, and I never remember anything that was ever taught. And my parents used to honestly give me and my brother a quarter every Sunday and say, go somewhere, which I kind of liked, but they wanted us to go learn something because they weren't religious and they didn't care what denomination. So I went to all kinds. And then here I am, with a bunch of people, hearing God's word taught, and for the first time in my life, I understood it. There was a fellow sitting next to me who was very ill. And at the end of the fellowship, the man who was teaching, Dr. Werwolf, said, if anybody needs to be healed, come forward. And this guy got up, and I'm like, uh-oh. Whoa, this is deep. I'm going to see about this right here and now. This guy came back completely healed. And then, to top it off, I realized there was something really different about the group that I was with. I didn't know what it was. Everyone was really, really nice to me. And they weren't like expecting anything from me. They weren't putting on a show for me. They just liked me. And they hugged me and stuff. And my whole life, all I ever wanted to be was loved. And later I realized it was love. So Jesus Christ here, he, not that he would ever be wrong, but I saw this. I saw the love of God manifested, and it attracted me. Love attracts people. So does fear. Fear attracts people. So does being bossy. So does the law. I don't know why, but love to me is a lot more appealing than all that other stuff. And it's a lot more powerful. It's a lot more healing. And it's a lot more tender. And I don't know anything greater. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, that great chapter on the love of God, it says, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is what? And yet, we have a hope of Jesus Christ's return, which is just incredible. We have the ability to believe God and see things come to pass, which is absolutely incredibly magnificent. And yet, out of those things, the love of God. And it also says, charity never faileth. It might look like the love of God loses once in a while. Never loses. Never loses. Never loses. You want to be a winner? Love. You want to know how to love? Read the Word. People have tried for centuries to separate the two. You can't. Don't. Don't even bother. Don't even make me go to 1 John. I don't even want to go there. You know, I don't, and I'm not going there. So there. You can go there. You go there yourself. But this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay? I went there. So it's all part of the deal. What makes us tender is God and his word. What makes us loving is God and his word. Golly, Pete, it's easy. Right, Pete? That's right, Pete. Love of God's so powerful, it's so healing, and it's so doggone tender. You know, if we believe who we are and what we've been given freely, we're going to manifest incredible fruit. Go to Galatians chapter 5. All I'm reading to you is things that you already know. But God wants us to know this stuff. Really know it to the end that we manifest it and everything else. You know, fruit is a result of growth. Growth could be the result of feeding. In our case, feeding ourselves, the thing in the context of what I'm sharing, feeding ourselves the things that have been freely given to us. Feed our minds that we're righteous, that we're redeemed, that we're sanctified, that we're justified, that we have the ministry of reconciliation, that we have the ability to speak in tongues, interpret tongues, prophesy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings, that we have the ability to manifest these great things, and that we have the love of God, and that it is available for us to be able to manifest that to each other. That's just something. And then look at the fruit of it. Verse 22. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love is tender affection. It's to cherish. It's... It's simple. Love is giving. Love is heart. Love is a lot of things. But it's tender. It's affectionate. And it's to cherish. And then it says joy. Joy means gladness. Joy means delight. Joy means happiness. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy our life. He doesn't want us to put the weight of the world on our shoulders. Jesus Christ took that weight away. Some of the most despicable people to be around, I know, is Christians who are in bondage and still living in the Old Testament that Bob and Steve were really sharing about, still trying to live in the law, still trying to do something that's already been done for them, and it makes me miserable to be around them. Because it's never good enough. You're never good enough. It's always something wrong. Always you got to do something better. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. I got to do it. It's been done. So straighten those people out. Say, look, brother, would you eat a pizza or something? Just enjoy your day. Read the Bible or something. Good. Leave me alone. I'm happy. I got to be around Christians to get depressed? That doesn't make any spiritual sense, does it? Does it? No, man. So give them the love, man. Give them the peace. Give them the joy. Give them the, well, peace. Peace is being tranquil. You know, tranquil. In Espanol, tranquilo. O paz. Si? Gracias. And if you have a daughter named Irene, that's where the word comes from. Irene, or I can't pronounce Greek. Don't ask me. I pretty much mastered Spanish, but not Greek yet. Being tranquil. It's harmony between others. This is what peace is. It's the absence of strife. It's untroubled, undisturbed well-being. You're just not troubled. You're peaceful. It's just peace. And this is my favorite definition. It's forgiveness enjoyed. Most people just hang on to it. I've been forgiven. Good Lord. That in itself is such a miracle. And he doesn't even remember our sins. And don't tell me about what sin's worse. Okay, please. You know. I swear today, I feel like starting, I really would love to start smoking again, except I know that it's really probably not the best idea for me in my situation. Because everybody hates smokers now. They are hateful. I mean, give me a break. Some of you guys in here are hateful towards smokers. You think it's almost a sin. Shut up. Go not smoke and be happy. I don't care if you blow up. I don't care if you smoke or you burn or whatever you do. Good, we have our pet peeves, don't we? Leave it alone, leave it alone. Go green. Forgiveness enjoyed. Hey, I just enjoy that I'm forgiven. I'm so enjoying that I'm forgiven, I'm not thinking about what you've done. I got a mess of my own to just forget about. Forget about. Enjoy your life. You only got one. That's a fun life. And it's exciting. And it can be hard, like Joe said. But then you see God do this great thing to get you out. How many messes? How many times? How many? Okay. It's forgiveness enjoyed. Long suffering. You know what long suffering means? Honestly? Long suffering. It actually means long time before you get angry. That's one of the definitions. A long time before you get angry. Take it easy. That's my favorite Tony Soprano line of all Sopranos. Take it easy. And meanwhile, he's flipping out. Just take it easy. Not that I ever watched that. Long time before you get angry. It's patient. It's endurance. It's slowness in avenging people's wrongs. I mean, just take it easy. It's gentleness, which means kindness and fairness. You're fair. You're kind. It's being considerate. And Joe kind of shared that. today. That, you know, life isn't always convenient. You know, what we need to do sometimes isn't what we want to do. And when you can get that thing straightened out where you want to do what you need to do, and it's all right there with God's word, even though it might not be convenient, it's the right thing. There was no way today I was letting the Gilmores take Aaron to the hospital by themselves. I'd have jumped in that car, I'd have let them run over me if they'd have said no. I was going, because I wanted to be there with them. That's all, I don't know why. Was it convenient? No. I had a teaching and I got to eat and I got back at 7:10 or something. But who cares? I was where I knew I needed to be. Even though it wasn't, I didn't enjoy looking at a dislocated arm and stuff. That wasn't pretty. But man, did I get blessed seeing Aaron. Man, oh man, what a great believer. What great believers, the whole Gilmore family. You know, you're kind, you're fair, you consider others, you just do that. Gentleness is kindness, fairness, considerate. Goodness is uprightness of heart. It's kindness. It's uprightness of heart and life. It's awesome. Faith. You know, the word pistis really means, according to Bullinger, it's a firm persuasion. It's conviction based upon hearing. And it fits perfectly with Romans 10:17, which says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? That's how we learn how to believe. We hear the word. And it's reliance and confidence in what we hear from God's word. Meekness, it's to be gentle. And Joe shared that today. It's enduring things with an even temper, free from haughty self-sufficiency. You know, you don't know it all. We know God. We don't know much. It's tender of spirit, it's mildness. And then temperance is self-control. It's the grace by which the flesh is controlled. We control it by living in a graceful manner, by living in grace. When our lives manifest this wonderful fruit, this draws other people. When people see us, do they see knowledge? Do they see vicious sarcasm? Do they see love? Do they see joy? Do they see peace? Do they see long-suffering? Do they see, are we bearing the fruit of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if people see us and they see love, I say we win. That's great. If people see the peace, if the people, you know, all this stuff, God wins, really. We want to manifest what God has freely given. A lot of people know what the Bible says, but they don't manifest love, joy, peace. What good is it? Nikita Khrushchev, who was the premier of communist Russia in the 60s, had memorized the Gospels. Well, it didn't do him much good. He knew the Gospels better than anybody here, even, except for Bob. Look, I'd like to go to John 8 to close. We covered a lot of stuff that we've been freely given, but yet we haven't scratched the surface. There's so many things that God has freely given the believers as a result of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has he's made us complete. He's given us righteousness, he's given us redemption, justification, sanctification, ministry of reconciliation, tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. He's given us the love of God, he's given us the fruit of the Spirit. These are all things that we've been freely given. And in verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." True freedom and true power and true love and deliverance come from our Heavenly Father, who has given us so many wonderful things freely by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know, to see, to notice, to examine, to pay attention, to observe, to inspect, and to behold what He has so lovingly freely given to us. Father, thank You for Your love, Your kindness, and Your goodness. For a wonderful night, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you.